Deutsche Welle Africa Link.
Hello and welcome to Africa Link. I'm Isaac Mugabe in Bonn, Germany. Coming up on the program, West African health ministers wrap up 2 days of emergency talks on how to defeat the Ebola epidemic.
Everything rises and falls on leadership. So leadership and governance is critical to any medical work.
Two Zambian men charged with having consensual gay sex are acquitted. We hear from an activist.
It's a huge relief for these two men who, although they've been acquitted, have already effectively been punished by serving a whole year in prison.
These stories and much more to come on the program, so stay tuned.
Top story.
West African health ministers ended their meeting on the Ebola disease in Accra, Ghana, with a call to establish a fund that will support research in countries affected by the disease. The health ministers and experts also agreed to monitor cross-border movements of citizens and also stop some traditional practices that have contributed to the spread of the Ebola virus. In a moment, we'll be hearing from the emergency coordinator for Doctors Without Borders, MSF, in Sierra Leone. But first, here's a report by DW's Isaac Kalechi in Accra.
The health ministers and experts who gathered in Accra agreed to establish a fund pool from which member countries of the West African subregion can contribute into and benefit from to control the spread of Ebola. They have also agreed to better coordinate their efforts across the region in containing and preventing the spread of the disease. They also recommended measures aimed at persuading citizens to abandon certain cultural practices that encourage the spread of the disease. Dr. Ebenezer Apiadintra is the Director General of Ghana's Health Service. He said a new fund will be crucial and appealed for international support.
The African group has agreed that we have to establish a fund, and that fund should be able to support everything that we do. So countries were able to come, yes, to raise money and contribute. We're also using this strategic plan that we're developing to seek for support from outside. That is why we find other people from EU, USID, all of them are here.
Medical doctor and scientist Dr. Didier Mbayi Kangudi, who is also attending the conference, said the success of the resolution passed depended on West African countries summoning up the necessary political will.
We're starting to say, how well prepared are we to either prevent the disease to continue spreading, or if it starts, how do we contain? Everything rise and falls on leadership. So leadership and governance is critical to even any medical work.
Dr. Kangudi also believes the world's biggest research institutes have failed to invest sufficiently in a vaccine for Ebola because it has largely affected only countries within Africa.
Very much difficult. You know, this is a disease that are not of interest to many of the research and development companies as we know it.
For Deputy Minister for Health for Sierra Leone, Dr. Abubakar Fofana, some of the recommendations are already being implemented in his country, which is also affected by the virus. He outlines some of those measures.
Surveillance systems, including active case finding and reporting and contact tracing, as well as monitoring. We've also placed restrictions on public gathering, including school closure in the affected areas. And then we've also erected screening posts at all entry and exit points to the affected areas.
Dr. Abubakar Fofana, Deputy Health Minister for Sierra Leone, ending that report by Isaac Kalechi. Now, Anja Waltz is the emergency coordinator at MSF based in Sierra Leone. I spoke to her and she began by telling me about the situation on the ground in the struggle to contain the Ebola epidemic.
The situation is quite worrying. Only in the last 2 days, we received about 30 patients in our treatment center here in Calderon. The problem is here on one side that still that the people are denying that Ebola exists, that patients are running away, hiding somewhere, and we cannot find them. They're going to different villages and can infect other people. And it's also that we are really have problems with our resources, on human resources, on transport, on anything. We are working here in close collaboration with the Ministry of Health, with WHO and other organizations, but it is really, really a big outbreak, and We are one behind the outbreak and we are not in front of the outbreak.
In other words, is the epidemic out of control, as officials have been saying, including your own director of operations, Dr. Bart Janssens?
The main issue is, when we say out of control, it's that we are not really see in a moment where we are, because we have so many alerts, we have so many patients, and it's really difficult for us to really put a strategy in place to say, okay, we are going before the outbreak is coming to the villages. We are sensitizing the people before, but and also to find the patients before they're really getting sick and can spread the disease. And this is really, really difficult for us in the moment.
What is your assessment of the meeting of West African health ministers in Accra called to help contain the epidemic?
As I'm really in the field and I'm really, really busy, I think what is really neat that we have more resources, experts coming on the field, that we have other organizations coming to who can work with a local organization here, with a local government. And also that, like, for sure, it's a need of a lot of money. It's about need of a lot of logistic support also. And this, what I see here in the field. And to be honest, I don't know what is the outcome of the Accra meeting now, because I'm too busy and to see on the internet what is the outcome.
You have visited remote areas of Sierra Leone, and I understand there was some mistrust between your staff and local residents. Why was this?
It's the people don't know what is Ebola. The people think that Ebola is not real. The people think here, the population thinks that the white people are bringing Ebola. And it's a lot of misinformation about Ebola. And we are working hard to change it, but it's hundreds and thousands of villages we have here. We cannot go to each village.
I was speaking to Anja Voltz, the emergency coordinator at MSF. And you're listening to Africa Link straight from the studios of Deutsche Welle here in Bonn, Germany.
Africa Link. Because Africa is more than just a headline.
Two Zambian men charged with having consensual gay sex have been acquitted after magistrates said the state failed to provide sufficient evidence in the high-profile case. Philip Mumbiana and James Mwape, both in their early 20s, had been held since May last year and faced 15 years or more in jail. The case had drawn the attention of rights groups and foreign governments concerned that Zambia may be toughening its stance on gay rights following stricter new laws in Uganda and elsewhere in Africa. Before we came on air, I spoke to Peter Tuchel, a gay activist based in London, and I started by asking him for his thoughts on the verdict.
First of all, it's a huge relief for these two men who, although they've been acquitted, have already effectively been punished by serving a whole year in prison on remand awaiting trial. So it is punishment first, acquittal later. This is not a fair judicial system. The second point is that, of course, the law under which they were convicted was originally imposed by Britain in the 19th century when it was the colonial power and when it ruled Zambia. Under this law, the two men faced a minimum sentence of 15 years imprisonment and a maximum sentence of life imprisonment. Now, my question to the Zambian authorities is that this law against homosexuality is not an authentic Zambian law. It is a relic or a legacy of colonialism. And as an independent nation, I'm very surprised that the current and preceding Zambian governments have continued this repressive sexual legislation which was originally imposed upon them by their British rulers.
Both the German ambassador Ben Finke and the US chargé d'affaires have publicly taken an interest in this case. Do you think that might have had an impact on the trial?
I'm certain that the national and international publicity, particularly pressure from South Africa, you know, a black majority nation which has equal rights for gay people, including same-sex marriage, that pressure, the petition from South Africa in particular, was very, very influential. And I think it did make the Zambian authorities think twice about proceeding with this case, even though the evidence in the first instance was very, very weak against the men.
How hostile is Zambia to gays and lesbians?
Compared to other African countries like Nigeria, Cameroon and Uganda, Zambia has not had the same level of homophobic witch hunting and persecution. However, last February, a man, Paul Kasankomonas, was prosecuted after he urged on television the decriminalization of homosexuality. But very positively and encouragingly, like these two men now, this man was acquitted. The state had failed to produce sufficient evidence to show that he had promoted homosexuality. So I'd say that overall the situation in Zambia is much better than some other African countries, although quite clearly the fact that these two separate prosecutions have taken place in the last year does cause considerable concern.
Peter Tatchell, a gay rights activist based in London. The UN's World Food Programme, the WFP, and the refugee agency UNHCR have appealed to governments for more money to help feed refugees in Africa. Cuts in daily food rations have already been made. In Africa, the WFP provides food aid for 2.4 million refugees. They live in 200 camps in 22 countries. Martin Olsen, coordinator of food supplies for refugees in North Africa, gave an overview to Deutsche Welle in German.
Most of the refugee camps set up by the WFP are located in inhospitable areas, not far from the borders with crisis states. It's a logistical problem to supply people there with medicines and food. Meanwhile, other refugees are taken in by families who are themselves not well off and need support. We supply people with foodstuffs such as salt, oil, peas and fruit. They are also given money to buy maize, wheat or rice for themselves. A family of five receives the equivalent of $20 a month for this.
How much does someone in a refugee camp get to eat every day, qualitatively and quantitatively?
Aber auch quantitativ.
Each refugee has up to $1.50 a day for basic foodstuffs. But the WFP is not getting enough money from donors, and so the rations will have to be halved. This means people will only get one meal a day. This is particularly hard for the very old and the very young, who need high-value nutrition to survive. At some point, deficiency symptoms become apparent, such as swollen stomachs, and people become more susceptible to illness.
Hunger causes lethargy, but it can also produce aggression. Does this mean that refugees who go hungry will revolt sooner or later?
There are other ways to survive. Many refugees leave the camps. Prostitution, child slavery, and the recruitment of child soldiers are terrible phenomena that can result when people do not receive sufficient care. But on the other hand, there are refugees whose governments make land and seeds available. We have observed that where this is the case, people start immediately to cultivate the land in order to become self-sufficient.
Martin Olsen, coordinator of food supplies for refugees in North Africa, speaking to DW.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hi there, welcome back to Crossroads Generation. We're on the second season called Facing the Consequences, and we're about to start the 11th episode.
We're standing at the crossroads, we're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation, our future starts today.
Previously, 16-year-old Nikki gave his parents a fright when they found him lying motionless in the street.
Nikki, are you hurt?
Me? Hurt? No. Nobody can hurt the mighty Nikki.
Are you drunk? What is wrong with you, boy?
Nikki is still in love with Mercy. But she chose Dan, slept with him, and now she's pregnant. Her friend Trudy wanted her to have an abortion, but Mercy didn't follow her advice.
You've been insisting I should get an abortion and that Dr. Zito has to do it because he pays you to get him clients. Mercy, you don't know what you're talking about. Just go, Trudy, go!
Meanwhile, Mercy's brother Banda has been ill and Mercy took him to see Dr. Roberts at the hospital against her mother's wishes. Today's episode is called Nasty Surprises. It starts with Mercy, who's just returned home to Tandika slums, and she's brought somebody with her.
The door's locked. Mom, it's me, Mercy.
Wait, I'm washing myself. When I am finished, you can tell me where you and your brother Banda have been. I was sick with worry.
Yes, Mama.
Sorry, Doctor. Our house only has one room. We have to use it as a bathroom sometimes.
No problem, Mercy. I used to live in a very similar neighborhood before I became a doctor.
Really?
Yes. During my college days, I shared my room with three other boys. We also used our room as a bathroom and took baths in turns. The last person was always the unlucky one because he had to mop when he'd finished.
So everybody fought to be number one?
Not really. The others were always too sleepy to fight. I was the only one who had to get up at 4 in the morning to go to college.
Wow. Why did you have to wake up that early?
Because I had to walk to college and it was 12 kilometers away.
But why didn't you just live closer to the college?
Because the houses there were more expensive. I could only afford...
Mercy, where is Banda?
Huh? Oh, hello. I didn't know we had a visitor.
I am Dr. Roberts. You must be Mercy's and Banda's mother. May I come in?
All right. Sorry, the floor is a bit wet.
No problem.
Who is he? And where is your brother? Kadu said you went out with him very early.
Mama Mercy, I am here to talk about your son, Banda.
What about Banda? What has he done now? Oh God, no more problems, please.
Relax. Mama Mercy, Banda is okay. Well, he will be okay. Thanks to Mercy here. He's in hospital and...
In hospital? Mercy, what did I say about that?
Mom, I'm sorry. I just couldn't stand by and watch Banda suffer.
You have become so disobedient nowadays. I don't know who has bewitched you. The seer said...
Mama Mercy, please listen to me. If your daughter hadn't done what she did, your son Banda might have died. My colleagues are doing some tests on him at the moment. We suspect he has TB.
What's that?
TB stands for tuberculosis. It's a very serious disease, and without proper treatment, people can die of it.
What? Banda? My son? But why? I mean, how? Is this TB thing the reason he's been coughing so much?
Yes, I think so. TB is caused by a bacterium that usually affects the lungs. It can spread very fast. If an infected person coughs or sneezes, the bacteria get into the air we breathe. Other people can inhale them, and sometimes they also get infected. This is why your whole family will have to be tested.
What? You are saying we could have it too? And who's going to pay for all this?
You don't need to worry about that, Mama Mercy. As in many African countries, TB testing and treatment here in Kisimba are free.
Can I go to school now, Doctor?
You can go, Mercy, since you've had the test already. But if the samples we took from you test positive for TB, you'll have to be admitted to hospital as well. You know that?
Okay.
Shall we go now, Mama Mercy?
Come in. Oh, Trudy. Sit down. What can I do for you?
Principal Juliet, there's something I have to tell you.
I'm listening.
It's about Mercy.
What about Mercy?
She didn't come to school today.
Yes, I noticed that. Do you know why?
She's been vomiting a lot lately.
Is she sick? Has she seen the school nurse?
No, it's not that. She's pregnant.
What?
Sorry to interrupt, Principal Juliet, but you asked to see me?
Oh, yes, Mr. Jumbe, please come in. Trudy, go back outside and don't speak about this to anyone, okay? I'll take care of it.
Okay. But please don't tell her I say...
Don't worry about that. It's good that you came to me.
Thank you, Madam Juliet.
Mr. Jumbe, I tell you, running a school is not easy.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, I didn't ask you here to tell you that.
Okay.
I'd like to talk about your son, Nicky.
What has Nicky done now?
Hey, Nicky, wait up.
Hi, Trudy.
Why aren't you outside with everyone else? Are you waiting for your father? I think I just saw him in the principal's office.
My father? No, I don't think so. He didn't say anything about that this morning. I just needed to go to the restroom.
Anyway, I have some very hot news for you.
What is it?
The best scandal ever.
What do you mean?
How would you feel if I told you that your very best friend, Dan, is about to be expelled from Bongo Academy?
You're kidding me.
No, I am not.
What did he do?
Apparently, he got someone pregnant.
What? Who? Someone at this school?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, who?
It's Mercy.
What? You can't be serious. Mercy's pregnant.
She is. She told me herself. Come on, let's go outside. Nicky?
Mercy's pregnant. Oh, no.
Oh, forget it.
Can't believe it.
Mr. Jumbe, your son Nicky was one of the most disciplined and hardworking boys in this school, and we're very proud of him. He's clever and...
Yeah, Nicky's a clever boy.
Yes, but recently we noticed that he seemed to be worried about something and his performance started to suffer. And that's not all.
Principal Juliet, I can assure you that Nicky is fine. The boy is probably just going through a difficult phase.
Mr. Jumbe, if you'll just let me finish.
Sure. Go ahead, please.
Our school guard has seen him several times with the man at the school fence who happens to be a known drug dealer. I'm afraid your son has been smoking marijuana.
What? Our Nicky? He maybe drinks a beer every now and then, but marijuana?
We take drug abuse very seriously here at our school. And as Nicky's parents, you should too.
Of course. I assure you that I will talk some sense into him.
Mr. Jumbe, I'm sorry to have to tell you we are suspending Nicky from Bongo Academy.
What?
I'll be telling him later myself. I'm sorry, we have no option. Our rules on drug use are very clear.
I can't believe this.
Nicky's father is shocked. And how will Nicky react when the principal tells him the news? What other surprises await the teenagers at Bongo Academy High School? The good news is, you don't have to wait until next time for all of them. Check out Anita's latest video diary to find out what she's planning for Dan. You'll find the video on our webpage, dw.te/LBE. And of course, you're welcome to discuss what's happening in Crossroads Generation on our Facebook page. Take care and don't forget to tune in next time.
And before we leave you, here's a reminder of the stories we've covered in the last 25 minutes. West African health ministers wrap up 2 days of emergency talks on how to defeat the Ebola epidemic. Two Zambian men charged with having consensual gay sex have been acquitted after magistrates said the state failed to provide sufficient evidence. The UN's World Food Programme and refugee agency UNHCR have appealed to governments for more funds to help feed refugees in Africa. And there we come to the end of this edition of Africa Link. For comments and suggestions, as usual, you can send an email to feedback.africa@dw.de, a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110 Bonn, Germany, or an SMS to +49 160 957 59510. Africa Link returns tomorrow at the same time, and I'm Isaac Mugabe in Bonn, Germany.